and thank you for joining us on KVCR for KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, speaking with Chris Thayer once again about several albums at the same time, with a fair amount of crossover in one way or another on these albums, one of which, the latest, is One Foot in the Grave, which kicks off hard and heavy with Dynamite. That a person could enjoy Monochrome by itself, a person could enjoy One Foot in the Grave by itself. I feel like, though, that a great collection would be to listen to all three, Monochrome, Loud and Clear, and One Foot in the Grave. They have the most crossover, and they're of the same ilk.
I honestly would also throw in Dance with the Devil, the Big Papa record, in with the mix of these three albums, because I think there's a feel to it that is very different from all of the Big Papa stuff, especially the early and the later stuff. This one happened when the keyboard player left and we didn't know what to do. And I already had the feeling of what I wanted to do. I wanted to incorporate some more modern vibes. And the next album after that, we had a horn section. So it's kind of like that whole idea was put on hold and we did more Big Papa. And then the shutdown happened, thankfully for the band, terribly for the world, because it gave me that chance to go back and go, you know what, I was leaning towards something and I never followed through. And that's what these newer sounding albums are. This is where I was meant to go. Nothing against those later Big Papa records, because they are a lot of fun and some of my favorite songs. Yeah. But I think there was something that I needed to do. And that's partly what prompted the change in name, was I felt like I was imitating instead of creating. I was mimicking instead of finding my own voice. And that's, I think what this album, this newest one, does is it really explores who I feel I should be as an artist and what I've been working toward.
Nice. With the song Dynamite.
I mean, yeah, it's not by chance that I put it at the first song. I wanted this album to explode right off the top.
Okay.
I wanted it to hit, and it was always the first track. I'm going to quote myself here.
Good.
And I write this in every yearbook that I sign as a teacher. Never let anybody tell you that you can't accomplish something. Go out and prove them wrong. And that's what Dynamite to me is about. That if you want it, don't be polite. You've got to be like Dynamite. You have to go out and make it happen.
I think most of the tunes on here really could have been the opener, most of them. I love From Bad to Worse, and I think this tune addresses an oft-visited theme, but I think it says it in a really cool way.
Yeah, it is one of those songs that is definitely a favorite of the band to play live. There's a lot of relationship stuff hidden in some of these songs.
Sure.
And, you know, I think From Bad to the Worst is one of those songs that is almost entirely groove. And I love to cut Caleb loose on this song live because he, 9 times out of 10, will be channeling Santana. And if you have not heard the song, it is a very Latin-inspired song. So, yeah, that's definitely one that jumps out as a fun song to play because it does have a lot of levels and it does have a different feel from everything else in the set.
Excellent, yeah.
I think without feeling out of place, it still feels like us. I have a friend who used to talk about, you know, you want to color with more than one crayon.
Right.
You want to use many crayons. And that's always stuck with me about putting an album together or a set. You don't want every song to feel the same. And that's where a lot of bands fall into that trap. You want to color with several different crayons so that it isn't a boring picture.
Okay.
The only
another one that I really don't have a lot on, but I just wrote it down when I was feeling it. One Foot in the Grave, the title cut, The Feel, very Mark Knopfler.
Yeah.
Were you expecting that?
No. Honestly, for me, it was almost an homage to Robert Cray.
Oh, okay.
Because you have a groove that just carries the song.
Yeah.
And I feel like it goes to unexpected places. And that's always been something I strive for as a songwriter, as a lyricist, or whatever. You know, come up with something that is unexpected. Yeah, One Foot in the Grave, it's a guy that's fooling around and sowing some oats. And obviously that catches up to you. You can't be a player forever. It's going to get you. But I love the idea that, you know, One Foot in the Grave is playing on that old kind of cliched idea that you're old or you're on death's door or whatever. And I love those songs where the person who's been done wrong gets that revenge. It's like you're going to have to answer when you indulge in all you crave.
Nice.
You had too much of a bad thing and you've got one foot in the grave. I love that kind of thing. Answering for your misbehavior or whatever.
Comeuppance of some sort.
Yeah, I love those songs.
One thing to hear drama, but it has a hollow ring if somebody doesn't get just rewards or something to that effect.
Sure. And it comes up on almost every album. You know, Dead Wrong from the Dance with the Devil record.
Okay.
And that's one.
Yeah.
Get Even from Monochrome. I have a profound sense of justice to the point where I have it tattooed on my arm in Latin. And for me, I think it's part of who I am, that profound sense of right and wrong and people getting their due. With no delay, you're gonna pay. You've got one foot in the grave.
One Foot in the Grave, the title cut to one of the albums we're hearing about on this edition of KVC Arts. And the latest release as well, though it does draw on some past items. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Chris Thayer. And in addition to this CD and album out, we'll address the album aspect of this a bit later, there's a couple of videos out on this one, including Dynamite, which we opened with, and this one, That Ship Has Sailed. Has sailed. The video out as early as April 2026. This is a simple story and it's an age-old story, so was it really just trying to shoot that basic story? I'm talking about the video here.
Right. Well, I think the song is pretty true to the video in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Or vice versa. The video is true to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And this was inspired by something one of my daughters went through.
Okay.
But it also harkens back to my own stupidity as a young guy. And I told this story on the YouTube if you want to hear like more specific detail. But basically, I was in a long-term relationship. And I got into my head that I had to feel pain or sadness to be able to play the blues properly. You probably can harken that back to the Crossroads movie
with Ralph Macchio.
I got that into my head.
Gotta feel it. Gotta
19
feel it.
Years old.
Or there he is walking through the rain. He's just wiped it down.
I figured I had to do that. But in my stupidity, I thought, well, I'm going to break up for a little while and then I'll get back together and I will have learned what it's like without losing anything. That's not how it works. You can't cheat the blues. And if you go looking for it, you're going to find it. And of course, by the time I realized I was an idiot, it was too late. She had moved on. So that's kind of the essence of this song is like, you better appreciate what you have because you could lose it. And if you don't take care of your business, they're going to move on. And you won't be able to get it back. So many wasted kisses that I will never get it back. And though it hurts to miss it, I know there's
You said you were not sure, and it's more than I could endure. Now that ship is sailed.
It's interesting you bring that up because that really ties in next. And so really on the video, we've got basically it's two different things. We have Chris playing, very soulful playing and singing on this. And then again, goes, absolutely. It goes back and forth between Chris and then shooting of this couple. Here's an early date. They're snuggling, eventually walking down the street without him and smiling about it. Okay.
Right,
oops,
right.
Spoiler alert. Okay.
Oh, no.
It's really, you know, it's going to happen. Here's my question, though. For this particular relationship, how much time has passed during this relationship? Or is this left vague because this could happen to someone, whether it's long-term or someone just a bit into things?
I definitely wanted it to feel like some time had passed.
Yeah.
You know, not to give away too much, but there is the scene in the restaurant that we filmed all mm-hmm. of this locally in Redlands
yeah.
at the Industry, formerly Clude's. And they were super cool about letting us film. And the moment where he gets up and kisses her on the head and then leaves, by the way, props to both of those actors. They were phenomenal. Rafael Berglis mm-hmm. and Alexis Castle. Her shot of her staring into the camera and then just mm-hmm. a slight inhale. And then she looks out the window because she finally is able to just breathe. Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful moment. But yes, I think there's implied that some time has passed. But not a huge amount of time because, okay. you know, she hasn't chopped her hair off or he hasn't grown a beard or whatever.
True.
She has definitely gotten it together and moved on. And he seems to think he's going to just waltz back in, and he is not.
Nice.
And Raphael's expression as she walks away is just golden.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Hers as well. She's got this smile like, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. how you like that, buddy?
Gotcha, sucker.
Yeah, uh-huh. exactly. And it's not malicious. It's just like this, yeah, now it's, you know yeah. how it feels.
Yep.
You know.
And people can see this now. You just go to YouTube and look for That Ship Has Sailed.
And you can find the channel CT and the TCB, all one word.
There we go. Okay, so yeah, I saw Labyrinth Ice Cream, also The Roadrunner. No
yes.
pets allowed. Did you get all those shots in one day over like 40 minutes? You just kind of went to space?
It was definitely guerrilla shooting.
Okay, uh-huh.
To the point where we went and did costume changes for one of the shots. Mm. We threw down $5, got a couple of waters while, you know, they were changing. And then it's like, oh, I'm not going to order anything. But at least I left them a tip for their water.
Nice.
I had to buy some food at the Industry. I had to buy some ice cream at Lapper's. So I feel like we didn't just go in and steal shots. To be fair, the only one I really cleared it with was Dean at the Industry because we were going to take a long time on that shot.
Okay.
I wanted it to feel like we were almost like seeing this thing as a voyeur or from the outside,
mm-hmm.
you know.
We were talking about this having to do with That Ship Has Sailed. I asked, you know, the time. It could be a long amount of time that they'd been together, or it could be a relatively short amount of time. That led me to thinking about if there have been any other situations where you've been writing and you find out it's just a little bit too specific. And I'm not talking about changing names and places to protect the innocent, but more like, I'd like this to be felt by more people. I'd like more people to be able to relate to this. This is too personal to a teacher who plays guitar and draws and comic book, et cetera.
I mean, there have definitely been some that have been a little too personal and in my earlier days, a little too mean mm-hmm. when things didn't work out.
But things that you adapted, though, because
right.
you found it was such.
I've done that. But a lot of times I just kind of let the song be what it's going to be. And if it's too personal, I just won't release it. Or I'll
okay.
save it for something else. Or I'll hold on to it until it no longer stings and move on.
Okay.
But I've definitely not been somebody who masks the truth. I would never use names, at least not in a negative way. But yeah, I feel like the song needs to be what the song needs to be.
And sure.
if it never gets released, then that's okay too.
Okay. It's Chris Thayer with us for this edition of KVCR. It's exploring several albums at the same time, though with a bit more of a focus on the latest, One Foot in the Grave, a 2026 release. This one was released under Chris's name, and it still has the feel of something you might get from many iterations of Chris's bands. Both Loud and Clear and Fool's Paradise felt to me they could have been something that could have been a Depravity Brothers tune. Is there something where maybe you've got something that's quite politically angry, and so there's your bass line, okay? Then you can amp that up to be a Depravity Brothers, or you can rate it in just a bit for a Chris Thayer or Chris Thayer and the TCB kind of thing. You know?
I mean, I definitely think Depravity Brothers is probably the most blatantly political of anything I've done.
God, especially the last one.
Well, yeah, but I kind of view that project like musical therapy in a lot of ways because I think everybody has to process the goings on in the world in their own way. And some people go into depression and some people become angry. And that's what I had to do to be able to process the world around me. But I think I'm very specific about what I want to say. Now I'm going to use the third person as Chris Thayer, as that guy. And I think if you look at the songs, there are a lot of songs that are very socially conscious without being bipartisan or political. Something like Loud and Clear. If anything, it's generational, you know?
Okay.
Because I think the older generation tends to see this fictional good old days. And for a lot of people, those good old days were pretty horrible. It just was good for you. And I like to inspire people to see the world a little more realistically and from a different perspective than their own.
Sure.
And that's a lot of what my more socially aware songs tend to do. This goes back to the whole purpose of these songs. That if I were to sing about what it's like to be a sharecropper, or if I'm going to sing about, you know, finding my mojo or something, those would not ring true to me and today.
Yeah.
Because that's not my story to tell. So I think for me, that's been a huge focus, is finding out what is my story and what do I need to say about it. And that's where these songs come in. It's not necessarily trying to stir up political divisions or any of that sort of thing. It's more like, hey, this is wrong and we can fix this without any sort of politics.
Nice.
You know, especially Loud and Clear. Loud and Clear definitely has a lot of those things.
And Fool's Paradise has a lot
For sure. You know, things like sitting on the sidelines don't make it right, you know? You're waiting for your time and it starts tonight. Those are lyrics about getting involved one way or another, whether it's helping out at the food bank or going and voting or whatever it is that you have to do to make the world better. That's what these songs are about. Like, how can you matter? So
okay.
many people don't do anything that adds to the world, you
gotcha.
Know, in a significant way. We just kind of are on our treadmills, going through our days. And
sure.
We work, we go home, we drink a beer, we watch The Voice or whatever, and then we go to bed. And I've never been one that would spend my time that way. I have zero chill. We have to. This life is too short. We have to do something to make things better. And then when you look at like Fool's Paradise, you've got lines like, we tear down the mountains and corrupt the skies. This is very much talking about the pollution and corruption, and we don't compromise. We reject truth. We embrace lies. We scorch the earth and melt the ice. I mean, it's not trying to be too preachy. It's like, no, this is what we do. And either we have to address what we're actually doing, or it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Excellent.
I'm not saying we need to kill all fracking and drilling.
Right,
and all.
Right.
We have to be aware of what we're doing before we can look at it and go, okay, is this the best course of action? Can we be better than this? We have to be better than whatever we're doing now. That's the whole point.
One thing that we haven't addressed, and we have to on One Foot in the Grave, the difference between the CD and the vinyl.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to the super secret track, which is no longer super secret since I just mentioned it. But
yeah, you spilled beans, dude.
Yeah, okay, never mind. Anything different in the recording where you put it in there, like even the analog saved for the vinyl versus the digital saved for the CD, anything like that?
No, I mean, the recording of it was basically the same.
Okay.
I didn't re-record for vinyl, but the mastering and the final touches, that's where you see the difference in the two. I wanted something that sounded as good as it could be when I recorded it. regardless of whether it went to analog or digital. So I wanted that from Jump Street. It had to sound good. I think the difference from vinyl to digital, and I've said this, and I have no way to base this in any fact, but this is my belief, that digital captures everything, and the vinyl captures what we would normally hear. I think that's why vinyl is so appealing to us, because it hears the way that we hear, not the way that a computer hears. And I was always one of those people that, you know, thought it was, oh, it's so much warmer, yeah, whatever. It truly is. And hearing the songs on vinyl is like a whole different experience. And thank goodness vinyl has come back. And to a certain extent, CDs have come back. Thank you to Gen Z for discovering CDs, because they're making owning music important again. Yeah. And it doesn't even matter what it is at this point. They just want to own music. Everything about streaming is so fleeting. And, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go drive through the mountains and try and listen to your Apple Music or your Spotify. Suddenly you have no sound. You own nothing. You're renting your music. But if you have a CD, you can play that sucker over and over.
Oh, read the liner notes and see who did what on what. And
yes.
Oh, yes, indeed. And it's interesting, just as you were talking about that, I think I was still in the 80s. This is mid-late 80s. The first CD that I heard that somebody was just showing off the sound would have been the intro to Boston's More Than a Feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a great one to get all that crispness.
Yes.
But now we've had that crispness for so long that, yeah, it would make sense that the vinyl, as you said, it's what we hear.
Right.
And so it's refreshing to get that, to return to that again.
I think CDs have run their course, because if you remember those early 80s CDs, the first run of them, they were really low quality as far as the audio or the volume on them. They were basically the same volume as vinyl, as far as the recordings go. You know, we had the volume wars, and Metallica ultimately won that by making their albums so loud it was distorted. And then all the mastering guys were like, yeah, this is dumb. Why are we doing this? And they started pulling them back again. I think CDs sort of ran their course, and they figured out the most they could do with them. And it was never as good as vinyl. And I think that's why vinyl has made such a comeback.
Gotcha.
The sound is so good.
And it'll stay with us, well, until a person has to carry a stack of them up to a radio job somewhere. And
don't get me wrong. Yeah. I still love my CDs. But I definitely am in that let's revisit CDs stage and let's make them sound as good as they can rather than as loud
as
they can.
Right. David Fleming in conversation with Chris Thayer for this edition of KVC Arts. We are speaking primarily about One Foot in the Grave, his latest CD release, but this one goes beyond CD. You know, I think a person should get this. I'm not trying to drum up sales, although I'm not trying to drum up sales.
Hey, that'd be great.
So buy now. The fact is that there is another significant difference. I spilled the beans earlier.
You did. The super secret bonus track.
He found out 7 months ago today. And all this time, he couldn't find the words to say. The clues were there. As plain as day, that girl had started to stray. The writing's on the wall. It's on the phone wall. There's gonna be a ball. The writing's on the wall.
So basically, you know, I recorded maybe 15 songs in prep for this album, because I tend to overdo the number of tracks. I whittled it down to just the core that all worked together, and it was 11 tracks. When I went to go figure out vinyl, I was going to be over on one side by 2 minutes. And you can do that, but it starts to eat into your quality.
Okay.
So I had a tough choice to make. Like, one song had to be cut. And the one that I cut was the one that it felt like I had covered some of that ground on some of the other songs, And it was really tough. I went back and forth with a couple of guys in the band, like, what do you think? Which one should we cut? And nobody agreed on which one should be cut.
Oh.
So I just had to make a choice. So Writings on the Wall is one that is thematically very similar to One Foot in the Grave.
Okay, yeah.
They don't necessarily sound the same, but they do have a similar theme. And I thought, okay, we've sort of covered this ground story-wise. Maybe this one needs to be a bonus track. And when people come to the shows, I'll hand out a little QR code for them to download the song. Because again, you need to own your music. The thinking is when people buy the vinyl record, I will include the QR so they can get the bonus track that was unreleased.
Nice.
You know, maybe somewhere down the road, I'll do a deluxe version of the digital.
Okay.
But at this point, you have to buy the vinyl record to get that track or come to a live show.
Nice. Okay.
You got to take care of the fans, man.
That's right. That's right. And you need to have your merchandise table. And if it makes a difference on shows that I know that I'm going to be at, I'll drive over to your house early to pick up stuff, and I'll man the table, you know, whatever. But just...
I'll tell you what, man. Working with Ron and IB Comics, we've definitely gotten good at display.
Yeah.
And I've borrowed a lot of the things that we've created for that and starting to apply that to TCB.
Good, good. For this edition of KVC Arts, it's been music from and conversation with Chris Thayer. Very much crossing over between several releases, though focusing mainly on the 2026 release, One Foot in the Grave, on CD and vinyl. Find this and many more outstanding releases at ctandthetcb.com. ctandthetcb.com. And that wraps up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Chris Thayer, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodala, Jessica Greenwell, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.